The United States Supreme Court heard oral arguments today in a case that'll determine whether or not same-sex marriage should be legal in every state in the country. It's one of the biggest cases the court is hearing this term, and plenty of observers were on hand to take it all in.
It's not the first time the court has taken up same-sex marriage. 2 years ago, justices ruled on a pair of cases, including one that challenged California's ban on same-sex marriage. While the court ruled against the ban, it never ruled on whether the ban was constitutional, which takes us up to today.
Eric Citrin joins us now. He's an attorney reporting on today's oral arguments for SCOTUS blog. Eric, thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So in general, the court is looking at two key questions on same-sex marriage. Can you walk us through them?
Yeah, sure. The first question that the court heard argument today, which is the broader question, was whether or not it is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause or otherwise unconstitutional for states to deny gay and lesbians the right to marry. The general right to marry question. And then the court was also considering a narrower question, which is whether or not it might be unconstitutional to refuse to recognize same-sex marriages to the extent that those marriages were recognized in another state. So suppose that Jim and Bob get married in New York where it's legal, and then they move back to Texas. Does Texas have a constitutional obligation to at least recognize that out-of-state marriage?
So clearly, if the court says, yes, it is a constitutional right to have same-sex marriage, the answer to question two is not going to matter, but vice versa, could the court rule that states have the right to recognize same-sex marriages performed in states where it's legal but not require states to allow same-sex marriage as a constitutional right?
That's exactly right. And I think you are correct that it would be very hard to see how the court could say, yes, there is a right to get married, but no, there's no obligation to honor out-of-state same-sex marriages. It's hard to see your way through to that one. And many observers watching the court today were thus curious as to why they were doing that question second, and also sort of trying to read the tea leaves about which justices didn't seem to care that much about the second question, which would be maybe indicative of how they were going to rule on the first.
And what is the tea leaf reading on that? Is there an indication so far?
Well, it's always very hard to tell from argument, and there's a lot of inferences going on. People also just get tired in the 95th minute of oral argument. But there were people who thought that Justice Kennedy seemed disinterested or less interested in the second question, which might indicate that he was going to go along with a right for same-sex couples to marry in the first question.
And it seems as though Justice Kennedy is the one that people are watching. He seems to be the indicator of which way this case will go. Why is that?
Well, that happens a lot. By natural inclination, Justice Kennedy finds himself in the middle of the court, especially on issues like this one that tend to break sort of on the left-right political spectrum. He just happens to be the middle justice. And his vote, he was one of the five and the most conservative of the five who voted to strike down the federal law refusing to recognize same-sex marriages in the Windsor case 2 years ago. And so you've got him as the most likely swing justice, both generally and in these cases in particular. And so he's the one that everybody is usually watching. And so there was a lot of attention paid to both questions he didn't ask in the second argument and questions he did ask in the first argument to both sides. You know, he had very strong questions for both sides. To the petitioners, those who are advocating for same-sex marriage, he asked a set of questions about whether they should be worried about changing an institution that had been the same for millennia. I think he said he had a word on his mind today, and that word was millennia. And then to the opponents of same-sex marriage, he asked very probing questions about whether, you know, it denies the equal dignity of homosexual citizens and the children that they raise in their partnerships to call their union something less than marriage, which is what you would call it if it was a heterosexual couple.
So as someone who watches the Supreme Court, are you drawing any conclusions from that line of questioning today?
Well, we're in the business of warning people not to draw conclusions from oral argument. And I'll have to take my own advice. But I will say that there were things for both sides to latch onto. I think those who expected the oral argument to be a overwhelming success for the proponents of same-sex marriage and that the writing would be on the wall may have gotten less than they were hoping to get, because Justice Kennedy did seem to have real pause, and so did other justices, about making this kind of radical change in an institution. And it hasn't been very long since the court started on its path towards greater recognition for gay and lesbian couples, period. But Justice Kennedy has had this tangle between the equal dignity of persons and, respect for tradition in the state in a couple of different cases, including the cases you mentioned at the beginning. And each time, the equal dignity of individuals seems to win out. And so there's also some reason to think that it's more likely than not that the court is going to end up striking down state bans on homosexual marriage. But, it's impossible to tell from oral argument is the short answer.
Now, you mentioned that the length of the oral argument was, at one point you said 95 minutes. They were unusually long today, right? Why was that?
Well, that's right. Oral argument is usually an hour in each case. And the court was hearing two questions today, and so that would mean a potential total of 2 hours usually, but they extended the first question to 90 minutes in order to give time to the federal government, which was arguing for recognition of same-sex marriage, the Obama administration was, and I just to give the important issue a full hearing. And so the court ended up hearing I think a total of 2.5 hours of argument, and just a longer day and a longer first case than any of the justices typically are used to.
Taking a look at
this happens from time to time in the big cases.
And taking a look at the status of same-sex marriage here in the United States, how many states currently allow it?
Well, I think I'm going to try to get the numbers right, and hopefully I won't screw them up. But I think it's a total of 37 states that on one basis or another now permit same-sex marriage. What's interesting is that they break down in a few different ways. There are states that have voted for same-sex marriage. There are 11 of those. And Justice Scalia asked about that today in trying to emphasize the extent to which same-sex marriage is a product of democratic voting versus courts. There are 11 states that have voted for same-sex marriage. There's a number of other states. I'm not sure how many. I think it might be about 10. Whose state courts have said that their state constitutions require equal treatment for same-sex couples. You can think of Iowa and Massachusetts as examples of those. And then there's a number of other states who have recently been required by federal courts. Those are the courts that the Supreme Court has jurisdiction over to review, required by federal courts under the federal constitution to honor same-sex marriage. So some of them are doing it freely, and some of them not. And then there's a hybrid where some states have been ordered by a federal court to allow same-sex marriage, and then the governor says, okay, that sounds good, and they don't appeal. And they decide that they'd like to go along with the federal court ruling. So it's certainly become the majority position in the states very quickly in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision years ago.
And approval for same-sex marriage is at a record high, driven mostly by young people. Now, the Supreme Court is its own entity, but is the court likely to be swayed by that at all?
The justices are people, too, and they listen to public radio, or they read the Washington Post or the Washington Times, according to their party. And they are definitely aware of both what's prevailing, both among people generally, what popular opinion is, and also elite opinion. And there's no question they're definitely sensitive to a changing worldview on homosexual marriage and recognition and treatment of homosexual couples more generally. And so I would expect that to land on them. They nonetheless are interested in the law, and they mostly want to keep things governed by the Constitution and not public opinion polls. But being people of the real world, it can't fail to register with them.
Today was the first day of oral arguments. Do you have a sense, though, of a overarching timeline for a decision?
Well, it's already late in the Supreme Court's term, and the Supreme Court invariably, at least recently, finishes its work before the justices leave for the summer. And in cases like this one, which are both politically controversial, argued late in the year, and almost certain to result in dissenting opinions, so that multiple opinions have to be written, it's going to go to the last day or the second to last day in June. You know, a two-month turnaround is actually kind of short for many of the Supreme Court's opinions. And this will be one of the harder ones to write, so I would be very surprised if anything came out anything earlier than some of the last days of the term, which I believe are like June 25th, 6th, and 7th, though don't quote me on that one.
Eric, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure.
That was attorney Eric Citrin. He's been covering today's oral arguments over same-sex marriage for SCOTUS Blog.